Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time, coming to you from our Studio B. We'll be back in Studio A again next week. We are brought to you by Chuck Defense. You know, Chuck Norris. He's one of my heroes. He's in his 80s. Look at the guy. He looks like he's in his 40s. And I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. If you didn't know that, Chuck Norris not wasn't just an accomplished actor. He was probably the world's best kickboxer of all time. Man's man. But anyway, he's on a health kick right now, and it really started when his wife got sick. He's really a moving story. But let's get right to the point here. He's giving you some pretty cool tips about avoiding three foods that you need to stay away from, like it's the plague. I was a little skeptical when I first heard it, and then I started delving into it, and oh my goodness gracious, he is exactly right. Now, listen to what I have to share with you here. Chuck wants you to be healthy. And so, what he has done with regard to these three foods is he has made a video. And you can go watch the video for absolutely nothing. It's free of charge. So he's done it. You're going to be healthier by watching it. All you have to do is go to chuckdefense.com/Dave. That's chuckdefense.com/Dave. And if you're catching us on our social media, of course, as always, the link's in the description box, chuckdefense.com/Dave. Pretty good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what else is good stuff for the elite are their programs of subjugation. And that's what I believe digital ID is. I am not a fan of digital ID in any way, shape, or form. Now, my driver's license converted over to the Homeland Security approved digital ID. I just flew recently to and from the New California Convention, sponsored by Paul Preston and friends. That was fantastic. But I got to tell you, I showed my ID as I always have, and I was no safer or no more danger than I'd ever been. What a total waste of regulation this is. Why are we spending hundreds of millions of dollars on this fiasco? Why? Why? You don't think that this can't be hacked and faked by AI? Of course it can. It's meaningless, but that's not the point. And I'm telling this story through the back door, and then we're going to get to the main point. The back door part of this story is this: anything it takes to get you into digital ID as a precursor for digital currency is right here, and it's right now. And this is scary, scary stuff. And you're saying, well, Dave, explain it to me. I'll let the Europeans do that. Let me tell you their story. I'm seeing European people from various backgrounds, whether they're in finance or they're in education or they're in medicine, they're all telling the same story. Their professions are trying to entrap them into doing their profession under a digital ID permission slip. For example, teachers in places like Austria, Switzerland, Hungary, they cannot submit their student grades without having a digital ID that is national. Can you believe that? Why does a teacher have to have that? Well, short answer is they don't. There's other purposes here behind this. They want to nose in on everything that you do. Also, too, in Europe, they'll often compensate you in various ways for your health concerns. Well, their healthcare system is 10,000 times better than the crap we're stuck with our insurance companies. But these almost what we'd call today an HSA account, they'll put money in the person's account, and now they're trying to add a little bonus. If you'll give them your digital ID, or if you don't have one, they'll help you sign up for it. That's right. And in a lot of professions right now, people can't submit their required taxes. That has real implications if you don't do that. They want you to have or get a digital ID. Now, we're not far behind the United States, and this is why I started the backdoor story talking about Homeland Security's insistence on what you have on your driver's license. It's absolutely unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary. And to be on your driver's license, oh, excuse me, with the separation of powers, and I used to teach government, the separation of powers, driver's license regulations falls under state law, not federal regulation, state law. Let's talk about where this is going. Now we look at what they're doing, and you've got to scratch your head in various professions in Europe, say, what the heck are they doing? And I'm pointing out to you that we're not far behind when you look at what Homeland's doing, and I think we're going to be following down this same path. And here is what they can do to you in Europe, and this is what the Europeans are saying when they make their YouTube videos. You're saying, really? It's that obvious? Yes. This is in the mainstream in Europe. This is a breakfast discussion. This is a call your friend and hey, did you hear about? I mean, this is mainstream in Europe, not yet in America, but we're not far behind. Here's what they're saying to each other. You know, those things that came out of the WEF a little while ago, that you could only eat so much meat, if any. Well, if you have a digital currency, hello, 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 digital IDs lead to digital currency. And if you have that, they can determine what you can spend your money on. And one of the things that they are talking about with each other is about food and what you can purchase. Another related issue in Europe that's really interesting are what we would call farm subsidies. They call them some kind of equalization payment. I'm not familiar with the term they're using. But it's basically farm subsidies in an American point of view, where the government will pay you not to grow certain crops or pay you more to grow above and beyond what you've been doing. And these subsidies now are tied to you getting a national ID. You get into their system or you don't get paid if you're a farmer. And in a lot of areas in Europe, because of the low cost of food that was formerly coming out of Ukraine, now somewhat America, somewhat Russia before they went to war, these people can't compete on an international basis and affects their domestic market unless they have help from the government. But to get their help now comes with a string. Why are they so intent on controlling digital ID? Well, I'll tell you, it's not just about limiting your food purchases. It's not about that. It's about spending your money anywhere. But also, too, the big banana in the room is social credit. And we have an example of it out of communist China. And we have even a little bit of it here in America, and they have some of it in Europe, and it's going to be developed. Oh, yes, you have First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, 10th Amendment in America. Of course, you have all those rights. But financial institutions that would be an NGO or a PPP with the government, in other words, public-private partnership with the government that manages this digital system of what I believe is going to be stablecoins, if they don't like what you say, or they have a prescribed list of things to censor, then you can't speak out, or you could lose out. I hope this is making sense to you because the Europeans, as a group, I'm convinced are already there. I'm reading publications from nurses, accountants, bank officials, believe it or not. A VP, I read his stuff out of the UK. All walks of life in Europe are now concerned about where this is going. In America, we're slumbering like a newborn baby. And this Homeland Security requirement on your driver's license was, I believe, the first big step. Simultaneously putting stable coins and connecting it to the SWIFT and FAST systems. is the next big step. And I believe we're not going to go piecemeal like the Europeans. We're going to go parallel with different plans that will merge into the final destination. The Europeans are going more linear and progressive. We're looking at a multidimensional approach. In other words, when it happens in America, it'll happen in a time frame much quicker than what the Europeans went through. And I believe the Europeans are beta testing this. If you have someone's data, you have the first step towards control over those people. You don't think that's true? Let me give you the extreme example. And I'm not fearing this now. I'm not saying this is going to happen in Europe or America at this point. But what did Hitler do to track Jewish people that he will eventually target? Punch cards. That was their form of digital ID. First, with the Jewish people before that, it was the yellow badge. And I'm just saying that they can limit your purchases if we get into the social credit arguments and so forth. But when it gets really dark and very nefarious, if this system were in the hands of the wrong people, and see, today, I don't know that it's all the wrong people that will do something as nefarious as what we've seen in the past. But I think we need to work with the end in mind. How much power are we going to allow any entity? Because if it's an NGO or a PPO, they may not be tied into absolutely having to respect your rights. I hope this makes sense to you, and I hope you're giving this due consideration. I believe we should be resisting digital ID at every level. I don't believe in this integration of data, because how many people have been harmed with identity theft because of breach of these interlocking systems? Well, quite a bit. I believe AT&T was the most recent, with tens of millions of customers potentially affected. That's one practical danger. Doesn't even have to deal with any kind of conspiracy to control people. It has to do with safety. And once your identity's out there, then you got problems. You got real problems. There's so many scams right now. I've never seen this level of scams. I'm getting probably 10 to 15 scam phone calls per day trying to entrap me into something. And you have to be really careful when you answer, because if you say yes, they can attach your voice to a predetermined question and say, "Oh, you allowed us legally to get into your bank account that we have the information for." That's why you don't answer the phone, "Yes, can I help you?" if you don't know who it is. We live in pretty scary times, and it all ties back to digital. And I have said this in the last week. Where does all this end? And I don't know if it's next week, next month, or in 10,000 years. I don't know, because the Bible is very, very unclear on this point. And it tells you, don't ask when the final days are coming, because that marks Jesus' return, and you're not supposed to ask about that. Only God knows that. But I'm telling you, if you look at where digital ends up, mark of the beast. May not happen in our lifetime, but then again, it might. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Hello, America, and welcome to The Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host, and this is the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, you don't think anything can happen to your money. And we've talked about this. I have talked about the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Act of 2010. You have been declared to be an unsecured creditor. And I don't know how to make it any more plain. And what that means is that if a bank is in trouble, they can buffer their fall by taking your money or a percentage of your money. That's right. And the law allows them to do it. I think it's unconstitutional as anything, but it is the law. And people will still tell me, oh, that can't happen in America. We have the FDIC. Well, let's talk about the FDIC. Right now, the FDIC's funds cover 1.17% of all accounts in banks today. 1.17%. And by the way, there's a funding mechanism that decides the order of who gets funded. And the credit swap derivatives crowd is number one. And they won't even get through them before the money's exhausted. And you'll be out there at the end, wishing things were different. Now you're saying, well, what does this have to do with today? Well, the Federal Reserve came out again and they said 63 banks are in danger of defaulting. This is what they admit to. Many analysts out there right now say it's 10 times that at minimum. Can't say that because it would look like the dollar is collapsing. Oh, by the way, it is. And you're saying, well, Dave, isn't that fear-mongering? Well, let's just do a little math. How would your family budget be if you were approaching $37 trillion of debt and your interest on the debt exceeds what you pay for national defense? How would that work out for you? Exactly. Well, that's not working out for the United States. The dollar is dead. Why do you think there are almost 50 nations in the BRICS nations that want to use the gold standard? Because the dollar cannot be trusted to be the world reserve currency. 1943, when it was clear the Allies were going to win the war, there was a conference in the United States called the Bretton Woods Conference. And there it was decided, even though we don't want to go back to gold standard because we want money to be spent on projects for us, the elite, that we'll make money on, and we don't want it restricted by the amount of gold that you have in your treasury, we are going to make the dollar the world reserve currency. So since nations are going to industrialize to rebuild after World War II, if you want to buy oil, and at that time it was from the Middle East almost exclusively, you have to use the dollar. That means you have to buy the dollar from the Federal Reserve. And that gave the dollar its value. Today, that's not in play. And then add the crushing debt that we have, the irresponsible funding exposed by things like Doge. Now we're in the position we are in. The banks, and you have heard this, you've heard me say it, you've read it in many places. The banks are gathering as much gold and silver as they can. Why? And have I not warned you to stay away from paper gold? The Bank of London, among others, have printed more paper than there is gold to back it up. And they just thought this party would go on forever, and now they're caught. And nations aren't getting reimbursed. Banks aren't getting reimbursed. And if you're an individual who holds gold paper, if I were in that position, I'm not going to give you advice, but I would sell it for whatever I could get for it today, because that problem's only going to get worse. And you're saying, well, where is this headed? It's called the Great Reset. Dave, I've heard about this now for 5 or 6 years, and it hasn't happened. It's already happening. It's already happening. We're moving to digital currency. They're phasing out money. The penny is gone. No more production of the penny. They're putting an emphasis on larger dollar bills because the currency is going to continue to inflate. That'd be the only reason you would do that. And it's just like the Weimar Republic in Germany before Hitler came to power, where their economy collapsed. I had German relatives that were shop owners, and they used to have to close their business at lunch to change the prices. Inflation was so bad. There were millionaires in Germany. Problem is, that's what it costs to buy a loaf of bread. You ever seen the old history books where you have a German lady wearing a scarf pushing a wheelbarrow full of money into the grocery store? That's what it is, and that's where we're headed. We are headed for hyperinflation. Trump just had the first positive gain in the economy, but it wasn't significant and it didn't offset the previous month. He's moving in the right direction, but the problem before we have a crisis is not solvable. And if you want to see what our future could be, look into China. 15 out of 20 million people in Beijing have left. Similar numbers in Shanghai, Jiangsu. I mean, all these cities are collapsing because the currency is collapsing. The factories are closing. 3 out of 4 factories are closed. We are headed for a supply chain problem in America. Plus, the Chinese are so upset,
that they have cut off rare earth minerals to us. I think that might change if we get a tariff negotiation. And people say, well, Dave, we're finding rare earth all the time, like in northern Nevada, southern Utah, record find. Well, I just interviewed a gentleman who's the CEO of the largest rare earth mineral company in the United States. I asked him the question, if we put everything into this and we had a Manhattan Project moment where we put all our resources into developing something so important, how long would it take to catch up? He said, minimum a decade, minimum. He said, we'll still keep working towards it. There's things we can do to minimize the damage. There are foreign powers that can send us some, but not at the level the Chinese can. And then we both talked about, can the Chinese supply lines even maintain what they want to send us? Well, this all comes back to the relative health, economic health of the United States. This comes back to the banks. And this comes back to the fact that there's no question in my mind, and I've been saying this since he came into office, that Trump is going to use Bitcoin, or probably more accurately, stablecoin, gold, silver, probably lithium, as backing for the dollar while we transition to a digital system. And I don't know if they're going to do debt repudiation, but I will tell you something that the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, said. Now, he's since backtracked on it, but I don't believe the backtrack. I believe his original statement. To understand it, we have to go back and look at Janet Yellen, who I think was one of the biggest thieves ever to serve in government, former Fed chair, former Secretary of the Treasury. And this is what I mean by theft. She wanted to monetize part of the debt with your money. And she used the term unrealized income. And I'll bring this back to Scott Bessent in a second, but I want to explain how it works. You'd say you bought a house for $100,000. At the time your mortgage is expired, you paid it off in 30 years. Your home is now appraised for $500,000. Well, people say, oh, that's a good thing. I'm worth more. That's a bad thing. It's not like you can sell your house for a huge profit, move into an equivalent house, and make lots of money. That's not generally going to happen. What's happened to you is you now have higher property taxes. There's no escaping it. And now, if you go through probate and try to pass this on to your kids, you're going to have higher estate taxes because of the value. You lose when your home appreciates. There's no benefit for you. It's a reflection of a sick economy that's dominated by inflation because we spend more than we take in, so we run the printing presses, and we're unrestricted since we went off the gold standard. That's the problem. And here's what Janet Yellen wanted to do. That $400,000 that you supposedly have made on paper, but haven't realized any benefit, well, she wanted to tax that at 43% of the $400,000 increase in that example I gave you. Do you have that kind of money sitting around? She called it unrealized income. Okay, well, I know the Biden administration's gone, not totally forgotten, but they're gone. Janet Yellen is gone, not totally forgotten, because here comes the reincarnated version of Janet Yellen, and the name is Scott Bessent, and everyone's singing his praises, and I'm telling you, this guy scares the living heck out of me. I'm not singing anyone's praises who said this. We're going to collateralize the debt through America Holdings. Well, that's a fancy sidebar way of saying unrealized income. How are they going to collateralize the debt using American resources unless they tap into your home and tax you for appreciated value? Where is that money going to come from? Ain't going to come from savings. Seriously, we have one of the lowest savings rate of any country in the world. So it ain't going to come from your savings. Is it going to come from your stock portfolio? Well, if you think for a second that the elite five that control the stock market are going to accept this and it won't have political ramifications in elections, think again. They're going to screw the people they always screw. They're going to screw you and every other common person. And this is why people are saying right now, I need to become my own banker. Well, in the next segment, I'm going to explain the pattern that the banks are going to go through when they fail. And it's not that I have a crystal ball, and it's not that I have any secret information. I have a history book. I know current events, and I can tell you exactly the three stages this is going to go through that's going to put your holdings, particularly in the bank, at risk. And I'm going to say this before I talk about Noble Gold. If you have retirement associated with the bank, I hope you have no choice. Because if you have a choice, you're a fool because you think you can start over. And if they come to get your money, and we're going to talk about, like I said, the process in the next segment, when they come for your money, your retirement is right there with it. You might be able to make up for lost savings and checkings and so forth and whatever they would take. They might take a percentage, they might take the whole thing. Again, we'll clear that up. But do you think that you could make up retirement? Pensions that are associated with bank, they are on the table right now. Scott Bessent put it there with a comment that he said, well, I didn't quite mean that. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But people like me started speaking out saying, hey, this is dangerous. Do you hear what this guy's saying? What's ours is ours, and what's yours is also ours. That's what he's telling you. And their banking system is not for you. You think you put your money in the bank and it's safe? They are a for-profit business. And if your welfare is at risk and their welfare is at risk, who do you think is going to win? This is something you really need to come back and pay attention to in the next segment. Because I'm going to tell you the historical pattern, and then I'm going to use current, contemporary current events in recent history to show you exactly how it's going to go down. The Federal Reserve is admitting 63 banks are in big trouble. Well, smart money is saying it's more like about 600 banks and growing. And what happened with the big, beautiful bill? What did it do to the debt? And I can't even argue and criticize because war with China is possible because they are desperate. They have a failing economy, civil unrest. They have massive unemployment. This is what Hitler fixed. And how did he fix it? Well, military buildup and then a war. That's the Chinese threat. Putin is locked into corners like you wouldn't believe. All his escape routes, all his allies around him and the various republics, the stands, so to speak, they are not behind him any longer. He is running out of resources. What does he have left? Well, two categories of weapons, tactical nukes and ICBM nukes. That's what he has left. And Article 5 says, if any member nation of NATO is attacked, the United States is obligated to step in. So we have the potential with war with Russia. If you think Iran is solved, think again. I think it is more of a minor issue, but I'll tell you, if they ever get their hands on a nuke, you think the mullahs will ever hesitate to use it? I don't. So that's what we're looking at here. And this is why you need to come back in the next segment. I'm going to lay it out for you, but I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to give you a spoiler alert here at the end. So one of the reasons why I've used Noble Gold through the years, because I've knew, had an inkling, this is coming. You can see the trend. I don't know how we've kept the economy afloat as long as we have. Trump inherited this. Don't start throwing stones at him, because this was going to happen no matter who became the president. It would just happen a whole lot worse if Biden or Kamala Harris had been the president. And I'll lay that out for you why that statement is a true statement. At least with Trump, I think he gives a crap about your standard of living. I don't know how much power he has to reverse what's happening. This is very serious. This is why Noble Gold is, and I are going to become even better acquainted. And, I've been a customer of Noble Gold going on 8 years now, been an advertiser going on nine. And we're going to get more aggressive with this as we have money from deals come in. How much of it's going to go to savings? It's going to go to gold and silver. You're going to have to think about becoming your own bank. I'll lay that out for you too in the next segment. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. And yes, we do live in a challenging time, but so did others, founding fathers and the other great generation in American history, the Depression era, World War II people. They went through real tough times too. Well, I think this is going to repeat. And the character of this nation and our resilience is going to determine whether we become a strong nation again, or we crumble and we go the way of the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the British Empire. Are we going to go the way of those empires, or are we going to survive a little longer? We'll also address that in a future segment. Thank you so much for joining us. See you back here next time. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't checked out our TV show, you should really do so, thecommonsenseshow.tv. We do some fun stuff on there now, not just the geopolitics and the interviews, but also, too, we have some sci-fi on there, quantum physics, powers of the mind, repressed technologies. I mean, really fun stuff. Breaks the monotony. People love it. Sign up today, thecommonsenseshow.tv. All right, this is part two. And part two, how the banks are going to supremely rip you off. And I'm sorry, but this is unprecedented. No, it isn't. Wait a minute. It's happened before in American history. It's called 1929. Why do you think this isn't going to happen again? And by the way, this won't touch the elite. You think that Jamie Dimon's going to experience negative fallout? I don't think so. But you will. This is why you need to pay attention, and we're going to give you some prescriptive actions. We're brought to you by, and I'm going to put it up front to you right now, Noble Gold. Noble Gold should be one of your financial plans to deal with what's coming. This is the Great Reset, part two, and we're happy to bring it to you. Noble Gold, they can save your retirement. They'll take it out of the bank, put it under your control, and you know what they'll do? They'll back it with gold and silver. Wait a minute. You mean the bank can't control it? No, it's not backed by a failing dollar. Pretty good deal. How do you do it? You call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. FTC wants me to tell you that there are no guarantees, and if you have a financial advisor, you should consult one. We agree with that. Problem is they're not giving you any warnings about what's coming, except, Scott Bessent in the last segment. We did talk about what he said, and we're listening very closely to what the bankers are saying. And more importantly, we're watching what they're doing. They are hoarding gold like there's no tomorrow because they know the dollar is on its way out. So, 877-646-5347. Quick review. If you're coming in late and you didn't hear part one, that's fine. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it because we gave you really good detail. But just to quickly review, banks are in trouble. 63 have been identified as problem children. And the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 was reviewed, and I keep saying it every day, and people don't want to believe me. I don't know why you just don't go look it up if you doubt what I'm telling you. Dodd-Frank 2010, they can keep your money. You are an unsecured creditor. Now, let's talk about, and I said I'd talk about this in this segment, what are the predictable steps that happen before a total banking collapse, fiat currency collapse, and a great, in quotes, a great reset? Can you tell? No, I don't have to have anybody tell me. As I said in the last segment, I own a history book. I am familiar with current events. There are three predictable stages. One is rampant inflation, and the government lies about inflation by process and by word. By process, I mean this. They don't count the price of gas or the cost of food. And food inflation is still rampant in this country. Soon to be with California shutting down refineries, we're going to see an increase in the Southwest region of gas prices as well. But that'll never show up in the figures the government uses for inflation. But step one is rampant inflation, and we are still there. And inflation is largely caused by printing more money than you're taking in. Simple. You can't survive that way as an individual. And neither can countries for very long. They can last longer than a family, but the end result is the same. It's called default. So that's step one. It's already here. What'll happen in step two is what happened in 1929, what happened recently, a few years ago in Cyprus. People wake up, the ATMs aren't working. Oh, guess what? That's happening in China today. Their ATMs aren't working. There was no announcement, no warning. Hey, feel short on cash, I want to pick some up for the weekend. Because for repairs, they'll make up their reason. We're going to bring down the ATMs. Oh my gosh. The people, you're never going to get the warning. You're never going to get the warning. You're going to wake up to this and your funds will be frozen. Oh, wait a minute. We did it before. It was called 1929, a bank holiday. And did people get their money back? Oh, hold on, hold on. If you haven't heard my family history, I'll give it to you again very briefly. You know, I come from on my mom's side of the family, the Ford family, the Cuseys and the Jenkins and this and that. They were prominent. They were in politics at a state level through Iowa, Ohio, Indiana, and they had real estate holdings. They owned hotels. And my mom's family was really well off. Also, they were cousins to Henry Ford. And somehow Henry forgot to tell his cousins what was coming. He knew. He sidestepped it because he had foreknowledge. My mom went from a toddler in riches to rags overnight, and they just shut it down with a bank holiday. So my family still owned money on the hotels. People couldn't afford to pay. The rentals they had, people couldn't afford to pay, but they had to pay the mortgage. This is what caused the default. And they couldn't get access to their money. Their money just went poof, gone, bank holiday. That's step two. Step three, the government comes out, and Roosevelt did this in the Depression with the fireside chats. Oh, it's okay. We're just going through a little transition. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Remember their FDR quote, right, from the Depression? And you can expect that to happen in stage three, where they placate you. And then they're having a meeting of the brain trust to decide if they're going to let you have any of your money and how much. Wait a minute. I mean, they may not take the whole thing. Well, it depends. In the Depression, except for the elite, they took everything. In Cyprus, the most recent case of massive default, there were two major banking chains. One banking chain took everything. A second banking chain took 40%. So if you had $100,000 in the bank, you woke up, you either had zero or 40,000, depending on what bank system you were in. I don't think they're going to be kind to a lot of banks who are not their friends. And I kind of worry because we like credit unions, but credit unions aren't at the top of the favored boy list in the Federal Reserve. So I'm not sure if they'll do differential recompensation when this happens. And you're saying, okay, well, what will they replace it with? Well, they're probably going to go to, and you've seen me talk about this now and why I'm opposed to it, stablecoin, digital currency. Say, is that good? Well, yeah, it's a way that they wipe out the debt. Let me start with part one. The way they wipe out the debt with part one is when everybody goes broke, except for the elite. Well, if there's no business intact, then there's no money to collect on the debt. So this wipes out a lot of the public debt that the government owes. This is one way to do it. Then you have a reset. Now, here's what scares me. I like things like Bitcoin and crypto. I think they're valuable. I think managed correctly, you can make quite a bit of money. But the problem is if one of those, like a stablecoin, becomes your national currency and it's digitized, who's controlling it? Well, you already know the answer to that, the Federal Reserve. How well have they done with the dollar? You remember at 1812, a dollar, right? Was still worth a dollar in 1913 when the Federal Reserve came into being. Today it's worth less than 3 cents, and we're going to trust these people to manage what's new. And here's the other problem. If all your assets are digitized, and you have a dictator in charge of the digitized assets, what's yours is no longer yours. If they have a faltering in the economy somewhere, they can pull part of your money and other people's money across the board and go put out the fire. And you have no say about it. This is the scary part about digital currency and things like stablecoins. In the wrong hands, it becomes a financial dictatorship. And this is the bottom line. This is where the World Economic Forum, do you remember when they came out and says, we're going to control your diet, no more meat and dairy. And there are about 90 cities in the United States that have these plans on record. No dairy, no meat. Tucson, Arizona, I exposed that online. I showed right there. By the way, they try to hide the files. It's interesting. You have to know the exact URL to get into it. They don't usually menu that kind of thing at the city or county sites, but I have found approximately about 90, and they can control what you eat. They can control what you buy. They don't want you to drive a car. Well, you can't purchase a car. When Kamala Harris boldly said, we're doing away with cars by 2030, is it a possibility? Yes, if they control the money. And that's what concerns me about the Great Reset. Now, the wealthy are grabbing gold like there's no tomorrow, as are banks, as are nations. Well, you know that old saying, as in Rome, the Romans do, you should do too. Gold and silver, silver and gold. This helps you create a parallel economy because it'll still be honored because the rich are using it. And then you can become effectively your own banker and not be locked into their digitized system. You're going to see over the next 6 months, and it might happen faster if the dollar collapses before then, but you're going to see all these think tank groups come out with how you can be in a parallel economy, non-digitized monetary system. And I've already told you how they're going to do it. You have a choice. Now you're saying, Dave, I can't afford gold and silver. Okay, I understand that. So what you need to do is buy food, storable food, because that'll be your next need. And food is the base. Henry Kissinger used to say, control oil, you control nations. Control food, you control the people. Well, exactly. If you have your food stored, then you'll be fine. Now, if you want food, just go to preparewithdave.com, storable food. All the details are there. But 25-year shelf life. And that's what you need to start building towards if you cannot get into the precious metal game because you don't have the resources. So these are two things you should do. If you can't afford either, I'm going to say work harder and pray. And I'm not being callous. I'm being honest. The people that stay stuck in this system will be at the whim of the people who control it. I wouldn't want to be in that position. And you have a choice. And the wealthy in this country are showing you what you need to do. My name is Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show, and we'll see you back here again next time. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, make sure you check out our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com and you click on the newsletter link upper right-hand corner. Put in your email. We do not sell data, so you're safe there. And what will you get? Well, you get a recapitulation of everything we've done in the previous 24 hours, one-stop shopping. You'll have to come back multiple times to see all the stuff we've done. It's easy and it's free. And over 50,000 people are taking advantage of it. TheCommonSenseShow.com is where you want to go. Hey, don't eat breakfast until you learn about caloric bypass. Your breakfast is setting you up for the entire day to gain weight or lose weight. And once your glycogen stores are depleted after an 8 to 12 hour fast, your body shifts into burning fat for energy. That's what you want to do. And this is really what underlies ketogenesis. And if you knew the MCTs that you could put in during your fasting period, your fat burning goes off the charts. Dr. Gundry, a heart surgeon in California, learned that if you break that fast with these MCTs, you're going to lose a lot of weight. He lost 70 pounds in his 60s and has kept it off. You can find out how he did it by going to thehealthyfat.com/Dave. That's thehealthyfat.com/Dave. Or you can click on the link if you're on social media listening to this, right in the description box, piece of cake. That's thehealthyfat.com/Dave. I tell you, a lot of people are raving about this. We've been running this particular piece of information now for about a year and a half, and we get a lot of positive comments from it. Hey, we've got something going on in MAGA that is threatening to tear it down. There is great division right now within the people who follow MAGA, supporters, regular citizens, officials, and top officials. And President Trump's reaction to this crisis has been deflection. And I'm not sure he knows how to handle it. And what are we talking about? The Epstein list. And as I said 2 days ago, if you believe there's no list in a criminal organization that has already been adjudicated through Maxwell and has been well publicized to, well, the man himself, I got swampland in Florida I want to sell you. Of course there's a list. Of course there's business records. Of course this has been seized. You've got one leader who's, we've been told he committed suicide. We have another leader in the second position, Maxwell. Her stuff has been used in court. And you're telling me there is no list? Well, that contradicts what both Patel and Bongino said when they got into their positions. We have to clean it up. We have to make it presentable. We want to protect the victims, and I completely get that. That's legitimate, reasonable, and legal. But they could release things that don't compromise victim identities. And they're releasing nothing. And behind it, they told the biggest, fattest lie that I have ever heard come out of a MAGA official. There's no list. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. More important things to deal with, said President Trump. Well, Pam Bondi's taking all the heat. You know, I don't think she's handled it well, but I don't know that she's had a choice. I think she's taken orders. And on, you say, Dave, are you taking sides against Trump? If you think I'm going to be a rubber stamp for 100% of the things he does, then you've come to the wrong place. My mission here through the Common Sense Show is to expose truth so we can get back to what this country was supposed to be and not the hellhole it was on the road to becoming. Is that simple enough? I don't do hero worship. Today, if Trump were to run for re-election and if he were eligible to do so, would I vote for him? Yes, I would. But that doesn't mean I'm a rubber stamp. And some people haven't liked a couple of the other criticisms I delivered through the year of Donald Trump. And I've sung his praises enough. I don't need to defend my position on where I stand. But I'm telling you right now, this is wrong. And now we're seeing it's not just Bongino that's unhappy. And he hasn't been to work since Wednesday, according to the reports. And this is being reported everywhere now. When I first reported this 2 days ago, we were starting to hear a few inklings here and there. And you remember when I said that when Bongino and Patel came out and they were minimizing the Epstein situation, I said their body language was not on board with what they were saying. I used to teach body language in sociology classes. I know it fairly well, and I knew what I was seeing was screaming, this is deceit and we're not buying into it. This is what we're being told to say. And now WorldNet Daily and several other entities and individuals are reporting that not only is Bongino in danger of quitting, so is Kash Patel. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. This would be an unmitigated disaster for the Trump administration that they will not recover from. And Trump is really damning the 2028 hopes of his vice president or Marco Rubio, depending on which way that nomination would go. And I'm telling you right now, both of those guys are in the back room pooping bricks because this is extremely bad for their future. And you can't believe 95% of the polls because they're run by liberals for liberals and they oversample Democrats. It's simple. Now, having said that, you're going to start to see the three polls that are reasonable that made the right election predictions in 2024. You're going to start to see them show dissatisfaction with Trump in this area. This is a big area. And the reason this is a big area is because this is about the protection of kids. Pretty simple. In the next segment, we're going to talk about protecting kids with an immigration raid that took a lot of heat. And we're going to talk about that, how what the Trump administration did was a great thing. But what they're doing with the Epstein situation is a totally unmitigated disaster. What did I say 2 days ago when I quoted Shakespeare? Remember what I said? Though the heavens may fall, let justice prevail. I'm going to tell you on this issue, the American people aren't going to tolerate anything less. And I'm talking about Democrats who have moved to the edge of getting behind Trump because their party has become so whacked out. People like Kami Mandani. I mean, anyone that could follow this guy in America, oh my gosh, just put on your red band and march in Red Square. This party has alienated everybody. I mean, look at Fetterman. He's not drinking the Kool-Aid. And there are a lot of Democrats who want off this crazy ship. But Trump's handling of the Epstein situation, and this is where the buck stops. It's with President Trump. His handling is preventing MAGA from growing. And there's been so many good things. Listen, I told you before, it's not my issue, not my main concern right now, who waits on my table, where they're from, or who picks the fruit. But when they're involved in criminal enterprise, when they're involved in rape, murder, and other associated crimes, they got to go. They either got to go out of the country or they got to go to prison. But there are people in this country that want them treated differently and give them permanent immunity from any bad acts that they do. No, and this is a good thing that Trump is doing, a great thing. But he's negating it right here. There were children that were trafficked and worse in the Epstein situation. Does anybody deny that happened? I can't think anybody out there can deny it happened. You got the number two person in that organization sitting in prison right now for these crimes. It's already been proven they happened. The damage has been done. Hey, listen, I'm confident with things I've seen. I have a real good idea who's on that list. The country's not going to fall apart. It may be there may not be political donations from certain people and groups in 2028, and this is where the decision has to come down. What's more important, the money or having the confidence in the country and your policies? That list, no matter how painful, needs to be published. And I can't believe they, for a second, they thought we had believed the fiction. There's no list. It defies any level of common sense. Think I've made my point. Look forward to your comments back to me on this and what you think. And you're probably saying, Dave, what's your motivation? No, I'm not turning on Trump, but I'm turning on this issue. If we won't defend our kids, then who are we? And it's often been said you can judge a nation's value by how it treats its most vulnerable people, namely handicapped, elderly, and the youth. If you don't protect these groups, then what are you as a nation?